You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hello and welcome back to the Arty Friends podcast. This is Allison.
And this is Kara. Today we're doing our What Would Your Bestie Do monthly segment, where you guys send in questions and we answer them as your besties. And this month, a lot of the questions are a lot chiller because for the past few months, we've had some crazy situations. And if you guys listen to the Patreon, you know that in our own lives, we've had a lot of chaos recently. And so we're bringing it back to center. We chose the least chaotic questions because we just can't do the chaos right now. If you guys aren't aware, Allison just recently moved to the Netherlands. We're recording in the afternoon in the US, which is also, 10 p.m. your time? So it's too late for the chaos. Our brains aren't going to be working. And yeah, so here's some more balanced, but also very fun questions.
We're choosing light and carefree today. Easy listening, easy talking. It'll be fun for everyone.
But as always, we're going to catch up really quick, and then we'll read Peaks of the Week, ours and your guys's, and then we'll get into the questions.
Well, I've been hogging the mic for approximately 2 months, so I'm just going to be a little mime over here. Take it away. How was Charleston? Happy 1 year anniversary.
Oh my gosh, thank you. I was going to say, it's never hogging the mic if we're all interested and we all want to know every detail, so never apologize. Yes, and unfortunately, I could not make last week's episode. I decided to stay for Father's Day in Charlotte, where my parents live, and that conflicted with my driving schedule. Driving back to St. Louis conflicted with our recording schedule, so I missed last week, but you did great, Allison. Loved that episode, loved the topic. But yes, really quick catch up for me was just in Charlotte. Like I just said, spent a week with my family and then did 2 days in Charleston celebrating me and Connor's 1 year wedding anniversary. Kind of over the top going back to Charleston and doing a trip, but Connor doesn't get too much vacation. Actually, he gets zero PTO because he's in sales. So it was something he wanted to do, and he hasn't really taken any vacations this year. And also, he has a work colleague in Charlotte, so he was able to make it kind of like a work trip. We went to Charlotte. He met up with his colleague. We got dinner with him. He worked in the office in Charlotte 2 or 3 days of the week. So it worked out well. Always great when you can kind of make a vacation also a little bit of a work excuse. And yeah, Charleston was amazing. We went to the Hotel Bennett. That's where we stayed for 2 days. Connor and I, we have an Amex Platinum. And I won't go too much into like the credit card things, but one of the benefits of the Platinum is that you get a $200 per year credit toward any of their Amex fine dining. It's like LHR Luxury Hotels Collection or something. Any of those hotels. So the Bennett was one of those. So we got a credit for that. And they also give you like $30 per person breakfast credit. So it pays completely for your breakfast. Also $100 property credit. So all of our lunches and other meals, well, not dinners, but all of our lunches were paid for with that property credit. So we kind of hacked it and got a good chunk of change taken off of that as well. But we got to do a couple of nice dinners, went to Hall's Steakhouse, which is a very iconic popular steakhouse in Charleston that was delicious. And then also went to the new competitor steakhouse. We're kind of like food reviewers playing food review of going to like the two competing steakhouses one night and then the other night. The new one's Marbled and Finn, which just opened last year. And Hall should be shaking in their boots. It was pretty good. I'm like, I think I liked the new one better.
Well, also, I have to say, your outfits were on point.
Oh my gosh. You did Thank great. You. As always, shout out to Newly. We love Newly and some fun accessories. I got these fun little starfish earrings that were part of the fun outfit. So thank you so much.
They were very Charleston. They matched the destination.
Thank you. I agree. I think that I tried to embrace that Southern charm without being too Southern-y, because some of the quote-unquote traditional Charleston outfits are a little too Lily Pulitzer for me. But I feel like I had a good mix. And shout out to our favorite, Sunday Creations. I wore their white pants two nights in a row, and those are so cute and comfy. And I know we've both said it, but that is such a set that I wear all the time. I'll link that in the show notes if you guys want to support them. But yeah, honestly, it was a lot of walking around, shopping. We didn't really want to go to the beach because downtown is either like 30 or 40 minutes from the two beaches, depending on which one you go to. And we did the beach at our wedding. I think we went three or four times because we were there for a week. So we're like, okay, we haven't really explored. I mean, I had, but Connor hadn't really explored downtown. So we just kind of stayed down there. But it did make me realize that a lot of cities really are just eating and drinking and shopping. I'm like, dang. Because it was too hot to really just like sit in a park and sit outside. So we didn't hang out on the rooftop pool for a little bit one of the days, which was really, really nice. But it was funny because I'm like, okay, I feel like we've kind of run out of things to do. So it was also good that we just did that for two nights. So a quick 48 hours and it was a great stay.
And then how was seeing your family?
That was very fun. Hung out with the family for a week. It was like a Monday through Monday, pretty much. And one of the days we rented a boat. So that was really fun. If you guys ever need a boat rental recommendation, there's a company called getmyboat.com. And it's basically like the Airbnb or Turo of boats where people can just list their own boat and you can rent it. And so my parents live in a neighborhood in Charlotte that has a lake. So one of their neighbors has their boat on getmyboat.com. So he rented their boat, which is so smart because one, obviously it pays for their boat and they make money. But they were talking to us, the owner, and he was like, so many people here don't want to own a boat because it's so much upkeep, it's so much maintenance. And a lot of people only do it three or four times a summer. So to rent it four times from us is so much more cost effective, so much easier. All the gas was included. You literally show up, he meets you there, and then you bring it back 4 or 5 hours later, and he's there. So it was so much fun. We went around the lake. It felt very Nebraska because at least for me growing up, I had a lot of friends, or not a lot of friends, but enough friends that had lake houses outside of Omaha. And it was totally the exact same vibe, like being out on the lake and like jumping off and swimming. And the water was very clear. So shout out to Charlotte. They have some very nice lakes. I could see my feet because I think some people get freaked out with lakes when they're like brown and murky and gross. But this one was very clear and clean water, which we loved.
Wow. Yeah, that's really impressive. I think Lake Tahoe is like the only lake I've been to that I ever thought was not scary.
But also Lake Tahoe is freezing. But yes, that water is crystal clear, the bluest, cleanest water I've ever seen in my life. But it's all mountain water, so it's so cold. It's literally like an ice plunge.
Well, I love this business app idea with the boats. Like mm-hmm. That really fills a hole in the market that seems very needed.
Mm-hmm.
Even last night, Clay and I were sitting at dinner by the canal. We were like, we need to make friends with someone who has a boat ASAP.
Yes, and get out on the canals.
Ugh. Yeah. I wonder if they have that here. Probably not, but I'll look.
Yeah, if not, I mean, we rented a boat when we were there 2 summers ago, and I don't think it was very expensive, but it depends what your definition of boat was. Like this one was like a bare bones, just a little prop motor, but it was great. But yeah, you definitely need to get a boat friend. That's always the best. But and it was very expensive.
Like you should start a blog about boat rentals. Like you have enough data and experience of boat reviews around the world to have a website.
That's so funny because it's such a random niche that I do weirdly have a lot of insight on. I feel like I have rented boats literally all over.
I know.
I chartered them.
Like almost disappointed at this point. If you come back from a trip and you didn't say, so we rented a boat, like, I just expect that at this point.
Can I drive a boat? Absolutely not. Do not put me in charge. But wait, that's so funny. Like, literally every destination, because whether it's for personal or for work, like, literally even their most random countries, like Saudi, UAE, like, we rent boats. So that's so funny. Yeah. I know a good price. I know what is good and what isn't good, because I've seen it all. Yeah, when we rented a boat in Charleston, so the one in Charlotte was $275 for 4 hours, which I thought was amazing. We chartered a boat once for a video shoot in Charleston for, I think it was 2 or 3 hours. It was $900. And that did not include tip for the driver. So there's a little cost difference for you.
See, all of this could go on the blog, because I would have no idea if $300 was a great deal or if $900 was getting ripped off. This important insight you have. That's got to know the market rates.
Yeah, I know the rates. I know. I'm like, that's so funny. Okay. Idea marked in my head. But no, that was really fun. And my dad loves getting out on the water too. And it was kind of like an early Father's Day celebration, because I didn't think I was going to be there for Father's Day. So like that Wednesday before Father's Day, we did this boat thing. But Riley, my youngest brother, couldn't be there for that. So then he was bummed that he missed it, because he was at work 2.5 hours away. And then he convinced me to stay. So then I stayed for Sunday, which then we did a murder mystery night, which I highly recommend. We did a Wild West themed one, which you can just buy them online. There's so many murder mystery party online kits. And it was definitely my idea. Gonna just take credit, because I was like, there's so many times you have dinner with your family or you hang out with your family, and I feel like they all start to blend together. And I'm like, we need to do something that's different, so that we always remember that this year on Father's Day, we did a Wild West murder mystery night. And I don't think any of us are ever going to forget this, because it was hilarious. Connor definitely won best performer. He was Dr. Quackery, a snake oil salesman that was traveling into town, ripping people off, scamming. And he got very into character and had a very good Southern 1800s, I don't know, accent, and had a big old cowboy hat. And we all wore plaid shirts and bandanas and stuff. And no one guessed the murderer. It was my mom. Belle Bandit. She got away with it.
I could see Lori being really good at having a poker face.
Yeah, because she kept pretending like she didn't know how to play the game. She was like, now what do I do? I'm like, you weaponized your incompetence, your fake incompetence. But it was so funny, because she kept just saying, I'm a refined woman. And then she would talk really quiet. She's like, I'm talking quiet because I'm a refined woman. Like, what is your character? But
this sounds very memorable.
It was what? Sorry.
This sounds very memorable.
Yes, it was really, really funny. And oh, and the best part, if you guys do this, which you 1000% should, in the game, you, at the beginning, if you guys have ever seen like Survivor, just any reality TV show where they have a confessional room where you go and do a confessional, we all opened up whether we were guilty or innocent in a confessional room with a phone on a tripod. So we all did that, and it was really funny. And then at the end of the game, you're supposed to go around and say who you think the murderer is. But instead of doing that in the group, we did that in the confessional room. And then we just played them on the TV. And that was so much funnier, because like then people could go on their rants or say whatever in character. And it was just hilarious. And now we have it on video. So I highly recommend doing it that way, because it's just, I feel like when you're alone, you can articulate yourself and really say what you're thinking and be in character. And it's so funny.
I would love to see that unreleased footage.
It's so funny. Connor's so good. Like, his mom came over last night. We were watching and I was crying. We were all crying, laughing again. Dr. Quackery. And these characters, because each character gets a booklet, and I just sent it to each person. I just texted it to them. And you kind of just follow a script, and then there's clues and stuff. But yeah, there's room for improvisation. And Connor really took it and ran. And some of these characters were very complex, very many layers. It was very funny.
If anyone says anything to your TikTok of him being the introverted, like, shy guy, you can, what do you call it? Stitch?
Yeah.
This is how long I haven't been on TikTok. You can stitch it with that confessional.
I know. It is funny, because he's always loved acting and like theater. And even when we first met, we were like in college, sophomore year of college, he had done a couple commercials and had this like, you know, far off dream, like maybe I could be an actor. And I'm like, he totally could have. He has so much. It's so funny because he hates attention. He's not, you guys probably barely know Connor, because he's not trying to be my content. He does not post on Instagram. Any post on his page is a duet or a collab post together. He has literally never once posted an Instagram story. And not that that's like to brag, but he's like, do you think if I post one now, it'll send those push notifications? Like when Instagram stories first came out and it sent a notification like, Kara Kirk posted her first Instagram story. He was like, do you think that would happen? Because I still haven't done it.
I forgot about that. Everyone was terrified. People were like, I can't rip the Band-Aid.
I can't be called out in such a loud format. But yeah, so Connor's not an attention person, but he's so good at acting and becomes a whole different person in a stage presence. I don't even know. So it's fun. It's definitely never not entertaining with Connor and stuff like this.
I honestly didn't know this about Connor.
Oh my God, I'm going to send you these videos. It's so funny. Dr. Quackery. I was Annie Croakley.
That sounds really, really fun, though. Getting into the theme, especially around your family or your close friends where you can truly be yourself.
Yes. And McKenna was so scared that she was going to be the murderer. She was going to have a mental breakdown, honestly, if she was the guilty one and would have to lie to everybody. And her video is so funny in the special because she opens her paper and she's like, I'm innocent. Thank God. Oh my God. Like not one of those people that like likes being the villain or the liar.
No, that I could have guessed. That tracks.
So yeah, it was a very fun week. And I highly recommend doing things like that to kind of switch up your family nights because then it just doesn't blend into the different years. Because I feel like I've definitely had family gatherings. So I'm like, oh, was that 2022? Was that 2023? Because you literally do the exact same thing at the exact same place. And I think things like this can really help you categorize them differently.
Well, that sounds very fun, very memorable. Well, you'll definitely have to link that in the show notes for everyone. And didn't you mention a different murder mystery a few weeks ago? What was that theme?
Yes, this one was a murder mystery party thing. And then that one was a cold case solving kit. Both very, very fun. I think the cold case solving kit, I don't even actually know what it's called, but because I was telling my family about this and they're like, aren't those very similar? The cold case one is like you get all this information to solve a cold case, kind of like you're the detectives and you don't have to act anything out and you kind of all work
as
together.
As a team, like the as whole party together is working. Okay.
And both are honestly equally fun. The murder mystery party, you all kind of play characters and someone has to be lying and stuff. So one has a deceitful element versus yes. And I'll link that one too. That one's really good too. I think that one, we just did with four people. So probably better for smaller groups. Because I don't know how many people that'd be fun with. You know, there's only so many papers that people can look at and like so much evidence you can dig through. But yes, that's a good one too.
Cool. Very fun. Yes. Any other highlights from Charlotte or Charleston?
No, I would love to hear what you're up to. Anything fun with you?
It's almost been 2 weeks since we got here. So starting to get a little bit settled. Mm-hmm. I'm back in my ClassPass era. I didn't even know they had ClassPass here. And Mia, she was one of my favorite New Wave customers. Now we're like customer friends, but she's such a cutie. She commented on my Instagram and was like, ClassPass is so worth it there. And I was like, wait, oh my God. I accidentally paid for ClassPass for like the last year. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, I had so many referral points, bonus credits like built up from people using my link, which I'm so, so, so appreciative of. But every time I would go to cancel, then I would have an Omaha trip. And I'm like, well, I want to go when I'm back in Omaha. So I just kept it on like the lowest amount of credits so I could hit a couple classes when I would go to Omaha. But like the whole time I was in Tulum, I was like, I obviously can't use these. And now I am thrilled to be able to try all the different studios here. And one that I found, Bluebirds, is my favorite studio that I've ever been to. It has like the heart and soul of Tulum, like not fast-paced mainstream yoga. Like it actually has a pulse. But it's modern and super clean. And when you walk in, it smells amazing. They have all the extra amenities. So I really appreciate that because Tulum is more hippie, you know, like not dirty, but it's more nature oriented. And I like how this is like the best of both worlds. It's still really, really clean. They provide the mats, the blankets, the bolsters, the eye mask. But then at the end, they'll give you like a carafe with water or tea or something. It just feels very luxurious. And it's a 5-minute bike ride from my apartment. So that's also a huge bonus.
Nice. That sounds so nice. Oh my gosh. I know. I kind of forget about ClassPass for Europe and other places. That's so good.
I don't know why I thought it was mostly a US thing, but I guess not. And I tried my first prenatal class, which was really helpful because not having any older siblings, I don't, and even my friends that have had babies, I haven't really paid that close attention to what they can and can't do pregnant. So it was nice to go to the prenatal classes so they could tell me, do this, don't do that. That way, when you go to a regular class, you know what to avoid. So then I had more knowledge and then went to a couple other regular yoga classes. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll just have to not do upward dog right now type of thing. Because you're not supposed to like put pressure on the belly. And then I did a face yoga class.
Wow.
And I have really long nails. And the instructor was like, well, it's your lucky day. You get to be the guinea pig. Like, I'm just going to do it on you because I feel like you're not going to be able to get in there with your nails. So I'll just do it to you. And it literally felt so good. I felt like I got like a free massage, basically.
Mm-hmm. Like she rubbed your jaw or something, or?
Yeah. Okay. So I actually kind of learned a lot. Now I'm like went into a deep dive after that class. If you turn your neck really far to the side, then you can feel this muscle underneath your right ear or your left ear, depending what side you do it. You should do it really fast. It's kind of fascinating. Okay. And then with your other hand, there's this really long vertical muscle that's like kind of in front of your ear, between your chin.
Mm-hmm.
And so that gets shortened because we all look down at our phones and laptops like all day. So you're supposed to massage that and it really helps with the rotation. Mm-hmm. And because it's shortened, that's why a lot of times people when they age, their neck skin starts to really sag down and even their face skin like pulls down. Because that muscle is so strong, it's like shortened that it's pulling everything downward. And so if you can massage that like every day, she's like, you can really avoid having to get a neck lift or a facelift or Botox. And she was saying she was 38 and has like never had any work done. And the woman was glowing. So
wow.
I believe it. And then we were doing the masseter, which is like kind of back by your molars and then your jawline. It was great.
Wait, why do I need to book a face yoga class all of a sudden? This sounds really nice.
I know. Afterwards, I mean, I don't know that with the naked eye, you could really tell a difference, but my face just like felt better. I was like, yeah. I mean, we massage our backs, we massage our feet. It's like, I've never had like a face massage like that.
Right.
It's different when you get a facial and I feel like they're just like rubbing on it, but to have someone like grab those muscles, I've never had that.
And to just work certain muscles that you don't even know exist or you totally ignore. I've heard of doing facial exercises. I don't know if that's cousins or similar in any way, but just very fascinating.
Beats me. I'll go to a few more classes. I'll report back. I'll let you guys know. Today I went to Amsterdam and might I say how relieved I am that we moved to Harlem.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a 15-minute train ride to the west of Amsterdam. Obviously, I found Amsterdam first, like, I don't know, 10 years ago, whenever I first came. Amsterdam is like the big city that everyone goes to. But after going enough times, I was like, I want to explore some other smaller cities in the country. And then when I found Harlem, I would keep coming back to Harlem because I really liked it. And I kind of had this weird second guessing last week because I hadn't really gone back to Amsterdam. We just went for dinner one night with our friends, Faith and David. And I was like, wait, did I don't know, like make a mistake choosing Harlem? It was just the first thing that I was like, oh, we're moving to the Netherlands. We're moving to Harlem. Like, didn't even consider anywhere else. Didn't even consider maybe we would like to live in Amsterdam. Absolutely not. I went today. No. It is like, I love Amsterdam, but after having been in Harlem, it's just like a better version of Amsterdam without like the litter, without the tourists, without the busyness, without the chaos. And you can just go there so quickly. But like day to day, getting to be here, it's so safe. Like, I forgot how many tourists were in Amsterdam in general. And I was walking down this one street and I was just going from the train station to this store I wanted to go to. So I didn't really look at what was along the path. And all of a sudden, like the road is full. No one is paying attention to the bike lane. People are taking pictures. I fear I'm in the back of like 40 tourist photos. I'm like, what is going on? I look up, it's the Anne Frank house. I like was not even on my radar. I'm like, oh yeah, people are like, this is their big day. And it felt so weird to like think about all the times that I went to Amsterdam as like a full tourist in my young 20s, you know, like so excited as a souvenir tourist young girl, I guess. And now I'm like, oh, I'm just trying to walk to the store.
Yeah. It's quite a difference.
Quite a difference. Yeah. And I went to this restaurant. I wasn't going to share this because I'm like kind of scared to because I don't want backlash, but like it's not my fault. So interesting story. Okay. I did all this walking. I was at 13,000 steps. So I'm like, my feet are breaking because I had to take the train to Amsterdam. My bike is here in Harlem. And after I just did all that shopping and all that walking, I was like, I'm just going to go to this restaurant like right next door to this store. It was like a seafood looking place. It looked cute, aesthetically great. So I go in, they're busy. I'll give them that. This guy seats me and no one like ever came over to me. The girl who was clearly my server was paying attention to the table behind me and the ones in front of me and just like completely disregarding my existence. But I was like, you know what? Maybe she's busy, giving her the benefit of the doubt. And literally like 20 minutes pass. She never helps. So I see this other girl and I like flag her down and I'm like, hey, can I like put some food in? And she's like, oh my gosh, of course. Like I'm so sorry. No one has helped you. I'm like, no. And she definitely had her section like in the back. So she was like, what can I get for you? And I was like, I'm going to do the fish with the side salad and the 0.0 Chardonnay. Because I thought that's so exciting. Like I never see a 0.0 Chardonnay. I see, you know, 0.0 Heineken or maybe a 0.0 IPA. But because it was like a fancier seafood place, I was like, cute. They must have had some zero proof wine liquor that they have. So I think nothing of it. I order it from the girl. She brings it over. I am parched. I'm exhausted. So I drink this wine so fast. And then I'm like, I'm kind of tipsy. Like I have a raging headache. It was not the 0.0. And I've never had 0.0 Chardonnay in my life.
Right.
So I didn't really know if how it would I'd like, I'm not a white wine drinker. When I did drink wine, I like definitely prefer red. Or I mean, I do honestly really like beer or margarita. But just white wine doesn't really do it for me because it gives me such a bad headache. And now I am filled with immense guilt because I'm pregnant and I just drank a glass of wine unknowingly. And I know it was for sure because the 0.0 Chardonnay was $4.95. And when I got my receipt, it was like $8.95 on there. So she definitely was just like in a hurry. But I'm sharing it, one, because if anyone is a server, bartender in the industry, just maybe like something to like double check and be aware of. And then for other pregnant people or someone in recovery, can't always take the word for it. Because sometimes if I get like a 0.0 Heineken, they'll bring the bottle over. But since you just put it in a glass, like I didn't see the bottle. I didn't think anything of it.
Did you complain? Did you tell them what happened?
No, I panicked. I said nothing. And I just tipped her as normal.
Oh my gosh. See, I would have probably lost my mind because that's happened to me before. I was doing a dry January or dry something, I don't know, and ordered a non-alcoholic Moscow Mule. And then it came over and I'm like halfway through it. I'm like, I'm literally getting buzzed. And I was like, okay, I literally could have been an alcoholic. You could have sent me into like relapse.
I know.
And then they're like, oh, sorry. The non-alcoholic Moscow Mule is the same name as the regular Moscow Mule. So the bartender must have gotten confused. I'm like, okay, well, then that's not my problem. And you guys need to call it something else. Because that is not okay. Luckily, I'm just doing it for health reasons, but that's really not okay that you serve me the wrong beverage that, yeah, could have way worse implications.
Right? Like, it never really dawned on me how much of an issue this could actually be. Because then Clay and I were talking about it right before I hopped on. And I was like, yeah, imagine if you were at like 10 years of sobriety.
Yes.
And then you just literally spiral. You're like, what the fuck? Should I just start drinking now? Like, I can't imagine how that would feel to someone. Because it's one thing, I'm like, if I was going to have a beverage during this pregnancy, I'm like, it would not have been Chardonnay. And I would have romanticized it and I would have sipped it and I would have done it with Clay. And I'm just like, I feel like I got robbed of my, I don't know, nice little afternoon.
Wow. Well, maybe when it has passed, you can shoot them a little email just so that they don't make that mistake again. Because that's really concerning. Like, how?
I know. And I even pointed that. If you guys are thinking, oh, possibly a language barrier, absolutely not. This girl spoke perfect English. There was no, she didn't miss it. She definitely was just busy. And to give her the benefit of the doubt, like she wasn't my server. She did just come over and try to make it better. But still,
well, I'm sorry that happened. It'll be okay though. I'm sure that that's, yeah.
I like panic researched it and I think it's going to be fine.
Yeah. There's way worse things that people do and they have perfectly healthy babies and stuff. So
I know I literally texted some pregnant friends and they were like, oh, I've like knowingly had a glass of wine before. And I'm like, what? Okay. Like, while pregnant, so.
Okay, it's gonna be fine.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
I feel better now.
Anything else you want to share from your week? Anything?
Gosh. Okay. Well, I was going to say this for my peak, but I'll say something else for my peak. I got a major haircut.
Ooh.
You can't see it right now. That's why I put it in a ponytail so I could trick you with my headphones. But I woke up yesterday and I was like, today's the day. Cutting all my hair off. So I looked up a aesthetically pleasing salon, went to the staff page, found the most trendy, pretty, cool-looking hip girl, booked the first available appointment with her, went in at 3 p.m., made a Pinterest board, and she was like, what do you think? And I'm like, short, because my hair's pretty long. Even though I just cut off, remember when I cut off like 6-8 inches in January?
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking how back in like August, I was having a crisis thinking all my hair was falling out. In this moment yesterday, I was like, that might have been in my head because or maybe eating meat and everything fixed it, but I have plenty of hair. Because that haircut, I went like a bob. There was so much hair on the ground. It took hours. Like, we were cutting and cutting. She was like, you have really thick hair. And I'm like, do I now? Because I've always had thin hair. I don't know where it's coming from. But it was very exciting. It felt great. This is the shortest I've ever gone in my entire life.
Wow. I can't wait to see. Yeah. Having short hair feels so good.
So I feel like a weight is lifted. Today, I'm like having my purse on my arm. I'm like, oh, my hair's not trapped underneath my purse strap. Oh, it's not in my hood. Like, there's so many things that I have had long hair. I mean, even in terms of like sometimes maybe people would classify it as short if they had super long hair, but it's like always been past my shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And now, oh my God, what a relief. What have I been doing?
That's really exciting. Well, yeah, can't wait to see it. It's pitch black right now on your camera, but when you do the big reveal, I'll be patiently waiting. Okay, should we do peaks?
Yeah, let's do peaks. Go for it.
My peak is that I got to have great family time with my parents and McKenna and Riley and Riley's girlfriend and Connor. So just all the good family time, fun travels. I was a little exhausted getting back from that trip, but now I'm kind of back into normal sleep schedule, normal routine. And I'm very happy. We had a great time.
Love that. Worth the lack of sleep.
Yeah, it was worth the 10 and a half hour drive. Yeah.
When you were talking about how on the way there, you're like, yeah, we'll drive, you know, typical Midwesterner. Today I was thinking about how Midwesterners are to driving as Europeans are to walking. Because when I was at one store today, I said to another girl, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to this one next. She's like, oh, it's close. It's only like a 10-minute walk. And I mapped it and it was like 18 minutes and I'm in jeans. And
you're pregnant.
Yeah. And it's actually quite warm today. And I was thinking of you literally because we were like going to record. And in that moment, I was like, this is like the Midwestern being like, oh, it's only a quick 8-hour drive. No big deal.
Wow. That's a really good analysis. I think that is spot on.
Yeah. I was missing my car in that moment earlier, but my peak is that I got a bike so that I don't have to do that anymore. I should have got a bike a week ago, but I'm proud of myself for even getting a bike at like the 10-day mark because I waited to get my own moped in Tulum till what, the 6-month mark? And I told myself this time around, we are not waiting that long to get transportation. And immediately, like when I was running errands yesterday here in town, made everything so much better. Biking, it's so fun. It's so freeing. It was way more expensive than I was hoping. I thought I could just get like a shitter beater bike for like 50 euros. So I went to the secondhand bike store. I picked out one and I was like, oh, it's fine. Get on it, feel it out. So I take it to the checkout counter and the guy was like, beautiful bike. Love this bike. This is a child's bike. I was like, oh, is that why it's cheap? And he was like, yeah, this is way too small for you. The adult bikes are over there. And I was like, yeah, but the adult bikes are like 3 to 1,000 euros. And he's like, yeah, they're adult bikes. I was like, I really like the kid bike prices.
Like, got anything like that in the back? Hello? Yeah, you can get cheap secondhand bikes, but they're probably not the same quality. Those are probably way better than what you can get here.
Yeah, because I think people actually properly use their bikes here. They have to be sturdier. Because it has like the special lock on it and the extra pump and all the things. And I'm like, yeah, this is not your basic Huffy, I guess.
That's exciting though. And you're definitely going to get your use out of it. So there's no question there.
Yeah, that was my immediate thought when I was like, okay, at this point, whatever the price is, because my feet are breaking. I must.
There's no other choice.
Yeah. Okay. Listener peaks of the week.
Yes.
Murphy said, finally feeling like a human being again after 15 months from having my son. That's amazing. I'm sure you're doing awesome as a new mom, and I'll probably know exactly what you're talking about soon enough. So big hugs to you.
Claire said, I got to see all my favorite friends and teachers after graduating high school 3 weeks ago. All love that. Hope you had a great time.
Sarah said, my iced matcha with protein. I am a big matcha lover and I've never tried it with protein, so I'm inspired. Thank you for that. I'm going to try it and let you guys know how it is.
And Danielle said, heading to Australia for my honeymoon. Safe travels and congratulations.
As always, send in your piece of the week on our Instagram story box every Monday at Artie Friends Podcast.
Okay, getting into what would your bestie do? We can go ahead and read the first one. Like we said, nothing too crazy here. And hopefully you guys will enjoy these variety of questions. Question number one. I would love to know what my besties, aka you guys, are having for breakfast and lunch lately. Honestly, I do love when people share their breakfasts and lunches. And I love a good what I eat in a day video. But I know those are very controversial because people have like all the different eating issues and problems. So I love them. As someone who has no eating problems, quote unquote, I love seeing what people eat in a day. It gives me so many good ideas.
Same. And I think it says a lot about someone. I'm like, oh, I didn't see you as that type of food type of person, or I wouldn't have thought of that. So I'm with you. And I'm actually very excited to answer this question because I've literally been compiling a photo album on my phone of pregnancy foods that I've been obsessed with. So I'm like, wow, thank you for asking. Been dying to share, actually. I'm going to start with lunch because that's the main one I'm obsessed with right now. I have this hyperfixation toast that I have probably made every other day since March. It's toast with avocado. It's basically elevated avocado toast, tomato and onion, but the sprouts. The sprouts are what is so necessary to add that texture and volume and fluff and coolness, and then tons of cracked pepper and salt. And if I'm feeling it, a little bit of crumbled feta cheese. Oh my God, it's so good. It just does everything for me.
Okay, yum. Okay, how about breakfast?
Less emotions to put towards breakfast here. I am pretty boring. Basically have Greek yogurt with granola, some sort of nut butter. I try to buy a different one each time, rotating between cashew, almond, peanut, fruits. Usually strawberries, blueberries, banana, like a little bit of each. Like I'll just cut like a fourth of the banana off and a little drizzle of honey, a little sprinkle of coconut flakes. And I just really like that. And I don't even think twice about it. I just have it almost every single day. And if Clay's awake cooking at the exact same time, he'll make me an egg, but that's probably like once every 10 days.
So an egg. Just run in there and rotate every 10 days. I know. Do you get like in a love egg, hate egg phase? Not on a toast, like avocado toast. That sounds amazing. I could eat that every single day. But just plain eggs, it's love hate for me.
Oh, agreed. Same. And there's times where they gross me out so much. And then some morning Clay will ask and I'm like, oh my God, yes. Like make it two. And then 3 days later, I'm like, oh, don't crack that in front of me.
Get that out of my face.
I think that is a common human experience, right? Like I've seen so many TikToks when people are like, when the eggs are really egging today and you're like, I just can't do it.
That's such a funny way to describe it. Well, when I'm not hating eggs, I like a breakfast of two eggs and then a couple of the Amy Lou's breakfast sausage because you know me, I love to hit my protein and I try to get like 30 grams of protein every meal at least because, you know, they say you're supposed to, especially if you're doing lifting and cardio, to get as much protein as your goal weight or your weight, whichever one is more aligned with what your goals are. So for me, that's around like 30 grams of protein per meal, probably a little bit more. And so if I do two eggs and then like three or four breakfast sausages, that's around 30 grams protein. But, and then I have to put sriracha on my eggs. I cannot eat plain eggs. Even when the eggs are not egging, I always need a hot sauce.
Fascinating.
Then, yeah. Which part?
The sriracha. Sauce. Yeah. I didn't I take you as a sriracha girl.
Sriracha's so good. That's the only hot sauce that I don't get sick of. But I don't put it on everything. Like chicken and sriracha, not my favorite. I'd rather a different kind of hot sauce. I have like five different hot sauces. Like a taco hot sauce, like a tapatio or Cholula. Like I'd rather have Cholula on a chicken than a sriracha. But the tapatio's for like beef tacos. I don't want that on like chicken. I don't know. I have a whole crazy different mixtures for everything.
This is new insight. I will file this into my notes because I actually, not to tangent too much, quick comment, but I think hot sauce is actually a good gift, like a fancier hot sauce set.
Yeah.
I think it's thoughtful. They're fun. They're different. Get some gourmet ones.
My friend Sarah, who was one of my bridesmaids, she collects hot sauces all over the world. So definitely,
there you go.
You're definitely thinking the right way. Like, that's such a good gift. I also like, I didn't like these at first. They grew on me though, the truff hot sauces. I've had them for a while and I never liked them, but now I kind of like them again. So there's another one. I'm all over the place. But okay, yeah. So breakfast. Oh, if I don't want that, then I also do a Greek yogurt. I just do Greek yogurt. I have a whole big bag of frozen berries from Costco, put some frozen berries in it, a little bit of honey, and then some granola on top. And I will eat that. There's like a new theory. I don't know if this is a good theory or not, but like the 30-30-30 theory of like 30 minutes after you wake up, you need to do 30 minutes of movement and get 30 grams of protein. I'll link who says that, some science guy. I don't know. And so I've been trying to eat this Greek yogurt before I go to my workout because apparently it's better to work out with even just like a little bit of something. And the granola provides some energy, some of that carb, where the Greek yogurt is the protein. And then the fruit obviously has some fiber and I think energy as well, that the sugars, the natural sugars. If you ever need, that's something that ChatGPT told me because I was like, what's a good, you know, quick meal before my workouts that follows this 30-30-30 rule? So that's where I got that from. But yeah, either Greek yogurt or that breakfast, or if I'm like really on the go, a protein smoothie. And then lunch, I love the Tiffany plate. If you guys aren't on TikTok, there's a girl named Tiffany. I'd never really seen this before, but she calls it a Tiffany plate. It's her thing. She'll do chicken sausage with a bunch of different veggies, and then she'll make a cottage cheese and mustard sauce, and you just dip everything in the sauce. It sounds repulsive. It is so good. And it's so fun to go to the grocery store and just pick out all the different veggies, cut them all up. I cut everything. I prep everything and then put them all in their own containers. Then whenever I need a meal, like a lunch, I can just grab everything out, and then it's all ready for the week. Love a Tiffany plate. Or I'll do... Lately, I've been doing tuna salad. So just tuna, canned tuna, the good tuna from, I use Safe Catch tuna because not all tunas are created equally and some are really, really disgusting and bad quality. So tuna salad, a little bit of avocado mayo and mustard, salt, pepper, garlic on a bed of spinach or just a standard meat, frozen veggies, and then quinoa rice. This was super boring. I'm sorry, everybody.
And you're having this at home most days, right?
Yeah, I eat at home most of the time. If I'm at home, I'm not usually ever ordering out because I'm just like, I eat out when I travel for work and I'm like, okay, that's enough for me. And I like cooking. I really do. And I feel like eating at home helps me stay healthy and stick with my goals and stuff because I know exactly what's going into the food.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I actually today at one of the stores bought a cute little magnetic calendar that goes on the fridge that says meal planner. Because on Sunday, Clay and I were like, okay, we gotta dial back in. Like we've had the valid excuse of we've been moving for weeks and unsettled, and it was like packing up in Tulum and then being in Omaha and then trying to get things sorted here. So rightfully so that we've been on a food tour, but we're like, okay, it has to stop. We've gotta prioritize the groceries. And I mean, I do feel like we eat at home mostly for breakfast and lunch. But then since we both work from home, it's like by the end of the day, I'm like, I just kind of want to get out of the house. Like, it's not even really the food. It's like having someone serve me. So yeah, I commend you for resisting.
Yeah. No, it definitely, I feel that need to get out of the house and be in another environment for sure. So I try to do that with coffee shops and stuff in the morning because I feel the same way working from home. You start to feel crazy. You're like, this is a lot of time in my house.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Okay, question number two. I really struggle with the balance of, quote, live every day as if it's your last, and, quote, save for retirement. I really struggle with wanting to invest in my life and make the absolute most of it while I can. But how do I do that without going into debt and with saving the appropriate amount on top of that? It feels like it'll take years to save for my dream home and for retirement, but I'm also at the age where I want to spend a whole year traveling. These years will be gone before I know it, and realizing I might have to choose between the two. I feel like I make the necessary sacrifices and work hard, but it never feels like enough. Can you think back to a time where you had the same mindset? Was there a moment where things turned around for you or any big changes that you made to push through?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is that I think you're going to get a different answer from any person you're going to ask, because I think this is a very personal view that everyone has on whether you should have fun and live life to the most every single day or kind of put your head in the sand. Boots to the ground, be really grinding it out so you can have more fun later. And I think it's going to be a different journey for everybody because, you know, we had Morgan Zanotti on who sold her company for what, $30 million. And she said that she would have never done that if she didn't go live and go surf. Was it Costa Rica? And she was 27, 28 and go and travel and stuff. So I don't think that either one is going to inhibit your success. But I think it's going to have to be something that you have to ask yourself and what your values are. So I guess for me, just to give you my perspective, I feel like if, you know, of course, I'm saving for a better home, I saved for things like a wedding, or now I'm saving for things like a future family, all this stuff. If you're not going to change your circumstances or like what your actual income is, then I feel like you do need to make a plan, because at this point, if you're not going to do the future planning and stuff, no one's going to do it for you. So, okay, there's a lot of thoughts I have here, but at least for me, I've made a plan. I have some financial things in place that are more on the responsible side. And then I just try to make smart choices that are fun, that are also frugal. And I guess a big theme with all of my thoughts and philosophy with this is to always just live below your means. That's something that I take very seriously. I paid off my car last year. It's a 2016 RAV4. I have no plans on upgrading my car because I love my car and it works. And I don't need to keep up with Joneses or add another car payment when I can use that money to go on trips or to save it for something else. So again, I think this is going to be something that you have to think about for yourself, because there's people who say, don't save at all, go hard, start a business, or go really hard into entrepreneurship and don't do any investing, because what you could make from starting a business or having an entrepreneurship career could 10x what you would do if you had just had been playing it safe and saving money at a 3% interest rate or whatever traditional savings get you back. That's not my advice, but there's just so many different advice out there. So for me, I try to take a balanced approach, and I save as a Roth IRA. I max out every single year. I try not to spend too frivolously, and I have savings accounts for different goals, but I'm also not the furthest to the extreme. Like, I still go on vacations. I still let myself travel and do fun things. But I don't know. Everyone's path is different. You could have a very profound year traveling, and that could lead you to make more money than you would have done if you just had stayed at home and travel or not traveled and had saved all your money. So it really is not, I don't think it's a one size fits all approach at all for this.
Echoing what Kara said about being frugal, I also feel like I'm pretty frugal in the things I want to be frugal about, so that the things I don't want to be frugal about, I don't have to be. And unless you're making buku bucks, that's probably how it's going to be, because we can't have every single thing in the world. So you kind of have to decide, like, do I want a bigger house because I spend so much time at home and I'm going to raise a big family? Do you want to drive the nice car? Do you want to travel all the time? Do you want to have a killer wardrobe? Do you want to be going out with your friends? Like, what matters for you? Do you care about your skincare and beauty treatments and, I don't know, plastic surgery? Like, those things really add up. And I think the vast majority of people usually kind of have to pick and choose. And I don't think that there's any right or wrong way to do it. It's really just whatever you want. And we can all probably look back and be like, oh, I could have made this other financial decision here or there. Like I've mentioned before, with my student loans, I was really aggressive in trying to pay them off as fast as possible. I had like 30,000. Now I think I made it under 10, so something 8 or 9 left. But right when I graduated, I was like putting all of my extra money towards my student loans because I really wanted to feel the relief of not having them. And I'm like, I wish I would have put that money into another business or into something, or literally just even into savings, into a high yield account, rather than just paying them off, because I'm going to have to pay them off anyway at some point. And I could have used that smarter. And for you right now, if you feel like an investment of your time and self is to take a year of travel, maybe listen to that. I mean, maybe by asking two people that are huge travelers, you probably knew you were going to get that answer. And maybe that's what you wanted to hear. But I have never regretted a trip, even if it wasn't perfect or things went wrong or wasn't the most exciting trip ever. I never think back on it. I'm just always happy I went.
1,000%. And sometimes the things that you learn on that trip, or the people that you meet, or the ideas that you get from a year of traveling, will catapult you and put you so much further than if you stay put. But yeah, it's definitely something that you'll have to kind of sort out on your own. I think, like Allison said, I think it's a great idea and can be done so much cheaper than you think, especially if you do a more affordable destination like somewhere in Asia. But yeah, I think you'll never go wrong with being frugal and living below your means. And a good reminder is that a bunch of people are in credit card debt. And like Allison said, you definitely need to pick and choose what your priorities are, because in a certain element, you can have it all, but it's not normal to go balls to the walls, balling with no budget at our age. Like, it's always surprising, like, who's funding what. You know, people's parents pay for things, and as they should, if they're blessed like that, totally, that's great. But don't let that get you thinking that that's what you should be doing too.
100%, because no matter how good it would feel now to have whatever thing you want, down the line, to have insurmountable credit card debt, or a loan you can't pay off, or a loan that is suffocating you, or a payment that you can't keep up with because you lost your job, like, that is going to be 10 times more stressful than however much you think you want it now. Because like with lifestyle creep, it's going to become your norm anyway. And I do think there is a weird magic to just living yet below your means. It really does just feel so nice. Like, I literally just trick myself to thinking that I'm like in poverty, like, because I have my different bank accounts. I'll be like, man, can't get a matcha today. Like, knowing full well how much money I have in my savings, I'm like, that's not for matcha. But then like today I bought like $150 tablecloth. Like, it doesn't make sense. But I think you just got to make choices that align with the life that you want to create with yourself. And that's just going to look different for everyone. And I also want to end on, don't be feeling bad because you said like, it never feels like enough. I think that that's like the lie of what society has tried to teach us, that we always need more new, faster, better upgrade. And that contributes to never feeling like you have enough to keep up with that. Like, that's the whole entire point of it. Because I promise, if you compare your life to most people's lives 100 years ago, we all have more than enough. And previously to our parents' generations, like, think of the things that we pay, all of the subscriptions, all of the extra stuff that we have that they didn't have. Mm-hmm. And I love our generation, but I don't think we know how to like struggle very well or like go without. And not, I don't mean like go without food or go without basic needs. Like, if you see a new clothing item that you want or a new tech upgrade, that's not a need. Those are like absolutely wants that we have been forced into thinking are needs.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, you can definitely have both, but you're just going to need to prioritize what's important to you. And not everyone's path is the traditional advice. So if you're feeling called to doing something not traditional, don't be afraid to do that route. Okay, question number three. What are your guys' best tips for building your credit and investing? Well, I guess that kind of piggybacks off our last question. What are your thoughts?
Depending how old you are, like if you're young, I would recommend having a financially responsible parent, if you have one, to add you as an authorized user so you can at least get the years going. If not, or if you're beyond that stage with your parents, even just opening the most basic credit card account, even if it's a $100 credit limit and you're charging $50 of gas to it, but just to get the ball rolling, The sooner you can do it, the better. I think pretty much anyone in investing would say time is like the most important thing. You just need time to add to the savings, time for things to compound, and the experience that you gain from it, I also think will get easier with time. I wish I was some stock market guru girl. I'm not. I don't think I'm ever going to be that girl. It would be cool. I wish I was that dedicated. But I think just a small baby steps forward and looking it in the eye, because I think so many people are like terrified of money and terrified of credit cards and investing, as I say that about the stocks. But I mean, maybe that's like the next step. But I had so many friends that were like terrified of travel credit cards. And I'm like, what's there to be terrified about? Like, it's so fun. I wouldn't have been able to go to half the places I went to this year without credit card points.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that was a good shout of definitely depends what stage you're at. Definitely start as early as you can. Start with a basic credit card. Go to your local credit union. Get a Discover It card. Just get something that's easy that you will get approved. Have that for a year or two, and then you can upgrade to the fun credit cards. Other ways to build your credit, getting a loan, an auto loan, that you're paying the payments on time. It shows that you're reliable, because I think having good credit is how long you've had credit, how many points of credit that you have to show legitimacy, paying on time. My grandpa even pays the month ahead always. So just in case anything were to ever happen, he's already still a month ahead. That could be something that you apply as well. Because yeah, you definitely don't want to miss any payments. Or if you do accidentally miss payment, call and make sure that they resolve it immediately, because that can dock your credit a lot. And then making sure you're not applying to too many credit cards as well, that can ding your credit. But yeah, I think it's definitely a journey. Even when I had paid everything on time, had good credit cards, I didn't over max or anything, I still had like an okay credit score, just because the length of credit history wasn't very long. So it takes some time. And unfortunately, the US is like, there's so many different things you have to jump through and hoops and stuff. But yeah, just make sure you're on top of the credit card thing. I feel like that is the biggest piece, and not having a debit card through your 20s. Like, get on top of it right when you're 18, 21, whatever. But then investing, I have a financial advisor, because I just have accepted that my brain does not know how to do that kind of stuff. And I'm happy to pay the 3%, 2% fee, whatever it is that they take at the end of it, because it's still going to be more than I could have ever done without them taking that fee. So personally, I pay somebody to do it for me. And yes, like I said in the last answer, I max out a Roth IRA every single year. And then with that, you can't just put money into a Roth IRA and it's going to compound into whatever, the 1, 2, 3 million when we retire. You have to actually take that money and invest it. So I think because it's free, anyone can set up a Roth IRA, but you have to actually invest that money into stocks. And my financial advisor does that for me. And also, I don't look at it They've said, like, do not ever go in your portal and look at it because you're going to start freaking out. People go. I have a friend who's looking at it all the time and she's like, it's down, it's down. I'm like, we are not pulling this out for 60 years. Like, stop looking at it. Like, you're going to freak yourself out because you want to be, at least when you're young and if you are investing early on, you want to be aggressive. At least that's the strategy I'm taking. My financial advisor has advised me on, because you have more time and you have the advantage of time so that you could be a little more aggressive on your investments. So instead of playing it too safe. So yeah, this is all above my head and I just have an advisor. But yeah, I think Roth IRA for sure. Take advantage of your company's 401k program if they have it, where they match your 401k. If you have that, you should absolutely, absolutely be doing that. And we had a good episode actually with my brother who came on and talked about this kind of stuff, but also my friend Corey Fay. She came on and talked about investing and she had really good advice. So I'll link that as well.
Yeah, I've also had a financial advisor for at least probably 10 years. And I just have payments each month that go directly into that. Mm-hmm. And I don't think about it. And that money doesn't exist to me except for some rare emergencies over the last 10 years where I'd call them up and take out a couple thousand. But I feel like the huge benefit of having a financial advisor is kind of adding that like wall between. Because if it's in your own savings account, just whatever bank you have your checking account at and the savings just is right there and you're like, maybe I will just like move a little bit over and take that trip or go shopping. Super easy to do because that's how I had it in high school. And then when my dad set me up with this financial advisor, I was like, oh yeah, this is different because now it's going to that guy and I can't take it back. I mean, you can take it back, but it's very different than just transferring it into your own checking account.
Absolutely. Automatic payments, automatic transfer every month, get it all automated, because I agree. That money that goes to my Roth IRA every single month, that is not for my spending. And you're so right. It's out of sight, out of mind, does not exist.
Also know that you can adjust the payments. Like mine, I can go into my portal and set up as many payments as I want. You can do 2 a month, you can do once a week, you can do once a month, you can change the amount, you can have it on certain dates. And over the years, I've moved it up and down based off of how my income was going. So you can adjust that. Just because you commit to having a financial advisor doesn't mean you're in it forever. If your situation changes, you can pull back if you need to.
And to clarify, this is not financial advice. We are not experts. We are not telling you what to do. That is just an opinion, but this is not advice. I feel like legally you have to say that. So just to clarify, that's a long one. Okay. Well, thank you guys so much for being here. That was our balanced, chill questions for you guys. Hopefully we'll come back next month with some more good, juicy ones. But we needed to switch it up a little bit.
And if you do have any questions for us for July or months ahead, go to our website, artyfriendspodcast.com. Go to the WWYBD tab, submit your anonymous question, and we'll compile those for an upcoming episode.
Amazing. Thank you for listening to another episode of Already Friends. We'll catch you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.